Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. God is greater. That is what we are saying here. We greet our audience here, the radio audience and live audience, with peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We begin always trusting God. We say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with the name of God, most gracious, most compassionate, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. We witness that He is one. We recognize all of His prophets that are in the scriptures, those scriptures that came before, the Quran, the last and final revelation revealed to Muhammad, the prophet of Arabia. And also, of course, what we find in our holy book, the Quran, for the Muslims and for the world, because we are told that Muhammad is a mercy to all the world. That's what God tells us in our holy book. Muhammad is a mercy to all the worlds. We are beginning today a little late, and I apologize for that. We like to be on time. We are very displeased when we are not on time. And that brings me to our topic today. We are living in very serious times. We're living in great times. We're living in good and bad times for human life. These are the great and dreadful days, as it's written in the scriptures, that were revealed to the people of the book before the revealing of our holy book, the Quran, to Muhammad the prophet, or the last prophet of God. This time is the time of the conclusion of things. Man's age-long work of ordering the world is in its final phase. The planning of material life, the planning of social life, the planning of moral and ethical life, all in the final phase. This was predicted long ago. The order of the world was known thousands of years ago. We are not the first to know about it. The essential nature of the earth and the essential nature of people, the social group as a social group, has been known by civilizations, by nations, for thousands of years. They knew the nature of it, so they could predict the future. What man's life, working the earth, sharing and fighting over its products or its treasures, they knew the population would grow and people would become more and more connected because of them growing and branching out. So they could produce the end. And they were men of vision and men of moral, high moral life. So they were assisted by the Great Spirit, the Spirit we call the Spirit of God. They were assisted by that. And they saw the future and they predicted the future. And we are seeing now what they predicted. We are fortunate to be living in this great time of material progress, progress for economic life, progress for academic life, scientific progress, a fascinating world of scientific progress and technology. On one hand, this world is making great strides, morally speaking also. However, on the other hand, this world is failing our moral life. In one focus, we see the highest leaders in America and the richest companies, corporate establishments in America being brought to justice. However, in another focus, we see public life and the street crowds going down in a cesspool of moral ruin. Sex-driven females, sex-driven males, switching. Now our change coins in our pockets, our nickels, our dimes, nickels and pennies and whatever, they have two sides to them, heads and tails. And switching, eventually, the tails get the seat the head was sitting in and working in. What was a friend becomes an enemy. We're living in these times. The enemy rises up so as to appear friendly. Earth, with all of her cosmic, my type is put cosmetic on here. Well, it's cosmetic. The world is it's cosmetic. But the word we want here is cosmic. Yes. With all Earth, with all of its cosmic relatives, exists for the purpose of giving birth to fruitful, productive human life. God says that he has made everything in the skies and everything in the earth to yield its utility, its worth to the creature he made above all the living, the human creature. Human life is not formed to have we people call one another, quote, dogs, quote, bitches. Earth supports human feelings, and human living human life. Earth. Earth supports struggle and people having riches, yes. We have to identify self. We have to know what we are talking about when we are talking about each other. We are talking about the highest life form that exists in this material system that God made. Identify self. Man is the productive spirit in the body we call the earth. But actually, man working with earth brings earth to evolve, to graduate, to rise into a higher form. We are the earth. That's the point. We are earth. Earth has evolved an intelligent part of itself, the human being. To identify self is to know something about earth. Man, like everything else living, is made or formed of earth. Man of the earth is born to be a manager. Every man, and that includes women. Life only has so much time to prove it has the spirit to stay in life. To stay in life means to stay in line. To stay in line with the best disciplines that this earth evolves. The earth thirsts. No water, the earth grows nothing. The earth is appetite. Man, no appetite, he produces nothing. Life is appetite. Earth transforms and becomes new forms. Think what life's first material form, the earth, can do. And whatever it can do, you can experience it and be a cause for it doing it more and better. To support one's life or oneself, reflect on the human body to get some help. Flesh is a plan for conditioning the spirit. Spirit is life, if anyone will hear it. To exhaust it, no more spirit to run, only a few around laughing. Life is no fun. Spirit rises and travels upon desire. Man wanting the whole world conspires. Man conspires to manage our fires. Study the human body that serves you and be kind to it. That is being kind to yourself. Don't take drugs and abuse your life. If the body is good for life, for human life, trusting it is good for the human mind. Trusting it in the good order that it was intended to have to support the best human spirit. A clean body helps a clean mind. A filthy body hurts a clean mind. It's time to have a new fresh genesis for the human spirit on this earth. To get us up and have us birth new and better human minds. On self, we cheat. On family, we cheat. On life, we're cheating. That's why life really wants to cry. That's why souls want to hide. Night people are sleeping away the day. I was in New York, and I saw all the people out late at night. And I say, when do they go to sleep? The citizen of New York told me, say, you didn't read about it? Say, this is a city that never sleeps. Night people not knowing the way, living for the little that is paid. It is time to have a new fresh genesis and wake up into man's earth-made human mind. Four seasons come around. Snow covers all the ground. Coldness closes the doors. Selfishness, our selfish life, causes us to lose even more. Life is earth. Life is appetite. Life, not hurt and wanting to fight. Earth thirsts to have things right. Without water, earth's powers to produce remain dead, asleep beneath its covers. Life is earth and appetite, thirst to have your spirit right. Fast life, generic shopping, hard times getting help or helping hand. Human life formed of earth is an intelligent body making choices. Spirit makes human life what it's worth. A spirit for resting from toil and hurt. A spirit for getting what is promised to man at birth. Born to outstretch the mineral, the plant and the animal life. Yes, human. Born to see farther than the moon and the sun. Born to struggle, yes. Rise up from rubble, yes. Life formed of earth originally gave birth to a man of human, to a man a human with a human heart and mind, the original man. He wills to never part with the spirit. He wills to stay firm and be kind. Man is hurt, man is mine. Have we feelings for self and others? Search the earth. What should be man's struggle? Struggle towards the best by going away from the worst to ship in the landmass of life. Man was created to manage it. Human life went up the mountainside to look down from the sky. Human life found the vision for planning man's life. Qualify to man the ship. This is a message to the living, not the dead. Qualify to gaze, to engage. Qualify to engage the landmass. An aerial view obtained while in the mountain high showed vital features and vital processes, showed knowledge and signs, direction for material production and education. Man from head to feet, the human person's skeletal home, the human person's anatomy, heart, brain, lungs, located on floors above, consumption, ecstasy, excretion on floors of lower region. This human body a construction, more than a mere mortal's flesh, an edifice, a light tower, a beacon to science and education. Housing seeds for a new life, for a new genesis, for a metamorphosis, muscle, skin, hair, whatever else is there. The entire structure in all of his aspects and details, from the largest of his parts to his dust particles, a microscopic organism. No part of it holds back its knowledge. It's science for life, education, and for soothing comforts. Earth, the mother form, from which all life comes. Everything belonging to its composition, the very large, the microscopic, a continental rock shelf, a small ash particle, a grain of sand. Earth and all that it embodies, light for brightening up man's world. Man is not the first producer for the human heart and mind. Man is a special key, K-E-Y, a special key to a treasure of keys, uncountable. Man studies himself to better see what is man's role in the big picture. Sacred are all the connections belonging to the whole of matter. Back to the mountain, back to the vision, back to Eden, for the road map of life, for wholeness and endless progress. Engage the brain, engage the heart, human values. The human lifeline is a lifeline of traditional human values. Life says, be productive to be free. The worldly life says, be anything but serious. Be free to play, be free to have fun, be free to freak out and become delirious. Success is keeping our soul, yes, success is keeping our soul out from under a world of dogs and bitches. Go out from sacred Eden, your human center. Look how it is today on all sides of this planet is hell. We the people, no managed display, no oversized ego. Stay well. Assalamu alaikum. Keep the peace. Keep his peace. Little things, yes, little things. Little things we know make us strong. Life appears dead in wintertime. Seasons come and go. The good circumstances are gone. The beautiful faces of spring and summer have passed away. Life that was on the up and up under the cold weather looks poor and naked, looks naked and hopeless. After 3 down spirit months, 12 weeks passing their way, air warms under the sunlight. Winds blow the rain clouds to have 12 weeks of downheartedness. Springtime is back again. Life survives death. The earth gestures. Hold on, she says. Little things we know make us strong. A big chicken, a rooster, finds something to eat. That big male chicken will not eat until after calling the mother and her chicks to have dinner with him. That's an animal. A little fowl. Little things we know make us strong. From A to Z, from where we got what we eat, what protects and makes life comfortable as well. Food, clothing, housing, employment, and transportation all came from a producer hooking up to Mother Nature. We may not have the history of material production, the birth of towns and big cities. However, common sense tells us man is born naked like a baby bird. Neither his nesting nor his big cities existed before finding a way through Mother Nature. Banking and financing may be a message given by a little squirrel. Yes, running about on the ground among the trees. The little squirrel banks more than it consumes in preparing to survive a non-productive season. Springtime comes around, and a little squirrel can busy itself at exploration and play because the little bird banked on and saved something for a rainy day. Little things we know make us strong. A visit to a Mormon city, the city of Utah, put the life of a honeybee on my mind. There in Salt Lake City, Utah, I saw Mormon industries, food production, canneries, other goods and other factories. Something displayed on the wall in the Mormon community's busy business environment was brought to my attention. A symbol, an emblem, a motto representing a principle, a goal to reach. People's worth ethic, a people's worth ethic, a people busy at production, selecting from the beautiful life, from the floral aroma, the environment of the bee, not funky stuff. Their work time and their play time will not be bitter because of them imitating the industry of the bee. It will be sweet. What make life of the honeybee a messenger teacher in man's world? What made ducks that fly through the air, ride the waters, dive down deep into the depths in search of goods? What made the woodpecker the aquatic rodent, beaver, the beaver? And also a carpenter in the woodpecker. What made them teachers? What made the dragonfly, the hummingbird, teachers? Teachers of maneuvers in the air. Yes, great maneuvers in the air, messages to those who design flying objects, planes and whatever, messages to them, helping them to design a better flying machine. All of this we find in Mother Earth. Once I was listening to a preacher, Christian preacher, and I had met him and became his acquaintance, his friend, a friendly acquaintance of his. And he said in his speech, the important thing is to not make the gift more important than the giver. Some little insects, night crawlers, have been created to hide themselves and protect their life. They can roll up into a ball, and just one little touch will send it rolling across the floor. And when they sense that there's no more danger, they come to their normal form and walk away. To see dead ground live again, hold on to life. Some are from poverty, from poor life. Oh, mind power edge. Oh, a mind power edge. For a life we are enjoying under better conditions. Yes, those who keep the life and keep it progressing, while we are overcome by failure and setbacks, they have a mind power edge. The whole earth is a house for glorification, the glorification of the Maker. That house exists for all colors, for each and every one of us. To have it open to us, to have it house or accommodate all of us, living life in it, certain mind strategies are keys. The one that started our lifeline again. His name was Farah. And many of the old pioneers called him the friend. He had a mind power edge. Yes, he had a mind power edge. And he had keys. Keys to strategies that would make us successful. Right. With this gift, the mind power edge, each adult male can be his own manager. Right. Having the same definition for the meaning of human life and human rights situate all males and females, families and communities, to strive and compete on a fair playing field.
Right.
From continent to continent, from Asia to America, from around the world, human communities have worked at and have found their vision for keeping and building upon their humanity, their own humanity. Humanity distinguished the life we have from the life of the lower living creatures. In this vision of human life, competition and pattern connections are of life and death importance to us. In one language or another, basic connections are the same. This composition can be summarized as earth, fire, wind, and water. Of the four, is the one tending to keep its own design. Water evaporates, freezes up. Wind tends to be wild. And fire is devastating and devouring, greedy. Can't control its appetite. But we know that the earth holds its form and keeps its design. That's why man is not made of water only, or of air only, or of fire only. Man is made of the earth. And we find the earth having in its composition water, air, and fire. It has the other three, but its design is giving in its matter, in its material form. It serves as a container, as a basin for water. It withstands the winds, and it has heat and cold influencing the winds, as the sun above has heat and the atmosphere far out is very, very cold. The heavens above influencing the life, But the earth also participates. And that's what we must do, brothers. Peace. Assalamu alaikum. Allahu Akbar. Yes, my message to you is stay well. Stay well to stay out of hell. We are very pleased to be addressing our radio listening audience today. We are not here to force anybody to change your way of thinking. We're told in this religion, although most of us are not aware of it, especially those who are running about in the streets, to let other people know they are not Christian, they're Muslims. Yet they are not aware, I'm sure, most of them, that God tells us in our religion that we should not impose or force our religion on anybody. That the way is open and free to all. Let him who has a will choose the way, and let him who does not have a will refuse it. This is our religion. We have a whole chapter that is devoted to that permission or that situation that we find ourselves in, where we so strongly believe in what we believe, and we love so much what we believe, we are just compelled almost by our own feelings to push it on somebody else. But that disrespects the gift. If you have to push it on people, you cheapen it. And God says he has given us our religion as a gift. It is a gift from him. A gift that he formed of our own human values. And he formed that gift of man's own human values, of people's own human values. He formed it for us, and he gave it to us to please our souls. And it does please our souls. But there are others who have their own religion, they have their own values, and they are devoted to their highest principles and most decent values. We don't want to disturb their life by insisting that they come over with us and be Muslim. If we were able to do that, and we are not, we would cause Christians to lose, and we would cause Muslims to lose. Yes, both sides would lose. Pretty soon, one side will end up with the unwanted of the other side. And it will become confused. And we wouldn't be able to work together with good people from each side. So we want to do the best and the wise thing, and that is recognize our common values. We have common values that connects all of us. You believe in a higher authority, an authority over man. We believe in a higher authority over man. So we have that in common. And that's the first condition we need in order for us to be friends and work together. Because if I got God over me and you got the devil over you, we're going to have a hell of a working relationship. But we have other values in common, principles in common. There are many that we have with the Christian world. And we must understand that we live in America, predominantly Christian. We are a minority. You know, when you're outnumbered like that, you're not supposed to be thinking about forcing the other side to do anything. You're supposed to be thinking about ways to get along and help one another. We're going to get there, but we have to face our own ignorance, our own mistakes. We made some mistakes. We have to face them and start over again in a better way. And that's what my imam, I have others too, but the closest imam to me is Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And that's what my imam have me doing. I'm working hard not to push good people away, but to show good people we have too much in common not to be knowing one another and not to be assisting each other's good works. We have with us in the audience today the mayor of East Hazelcrest. Yes, there's East Hazelcrest and there's Hazelcrest. My office is in East Hazelcrest, but I know Hazelcrest also. Hey, this is really good situation. The business office is in Hazelcrest, but my office, the mosque, is in East Hazelcrest. And we have the mayor here. And I hope we have a minute before our time is up for the listening audience, the radio listening audience, because I'm inviting the mayor to come right now and greet us.
I want to say assalamu alaikum. I have two very close friends here, and that is my friend Rod Bashir and Amatullah Sharif. Rod has been with me for well over 10 years. He was with me when we did our first two elections. And he told me to just hang in there and don't quit. And I'm sure Imam Muhammad have talked about don't quit and stick to itness and all of that. So what has happened, Rod is in Amatullah, where the section of town where they live in is what we call Dynasty Lakes. And in Dynasty Lakes, they're the ones who elected me, because I received most of my votes out of Dynasty Lakes, and that's why I'm here today, because of Rod and Amatullah. Now, what I did, I did not forget them. I put them on two of my commissions. So we have Amatullah on my house, and she's the housing commissioner now. She's Commissioner Sharif, and Rod is a judge. So if you get a ticket in Hazelcrest housing, you got to come before the judge, and that's Rod Bashir. Now, so also I have been in contact with Donnell Green, and he's going to come back because he has been calling me, and whatever I could do to help with the church, here, I want to do that here in Hazelcrest. You're welcome in Hazelcrest, and you just let us know what we need to do. We have some friends over in Homewood. We have some over in Markham, and I see on 159th Street, and I'm very proud to see this, that you are putting a shopping center up in Hazelcrest. I mean, in Marfa. I want you to consider Hazelcrest now. See, because what I have learned, and this is about, I think, my third time, and I'm coming more, and Rod is, just like you said, don't try to push him in, but Rod is working on me very hard. So we have three sections of property right in Hazelcrest, Rod, on 167th Street. And with this CDC, I believe you all might look at that and help us develop that. You know what I'm saying? You might want to consider that because it's right east of the Walmart they're putting up, 167th Street. We got about 35 or 40 acres in there. Bring the delegation over, Rod. So I just want to thank everyone, and this will not be my last time coming. I love coming, and I learned a lot today, and I'm going to be back to see you, and I'm looking for, Donnell to come this week to talk to me, and we're going to see what we could do to help out. Thank you very much.
I think the radio broadcast hour is over, but in case it's not, I want to give my greetings to our greetings of peace and best wishes to all of you all out there for a happy holiday season and for a better year in 2006. Peace be unto all of you. Assalamu alaikum. If you were listening for that almost an hour, well, 40 minutes, the whole broadcast time was an hour, but I was late. The announcements were made for the first 10 or 15 minutes. If you were listening to the address, you know that it connected spirit with earth and with the natural creation of the natural world. You know that. So let us continue in that vein and in that spirit. Now, but I'm speaking now to a Muslim audience, so I come from Muslim language, from Muslim text and Muslim language, which will benefit everybody because our language is universal. And we wouldn't, you know, Muslims are told, if there's three of you, let not two of you speak over the head of the third person. This is Islamic instructions. If there are two of you, let not the two of you close out the third person. So, I don't know how many of us we have here, but if we have 1,000, I say we have one. If we got two Christians, I say we got one Muslim here and two Christians. I count all of us as one. And I don't know where their minds are, so I have to count them by their numbers. So there's two Christians here and us. There are two Christians here and one Muslim. Okay? Yes. So I'm not going to talk to one Muslim and close out Christians, the third. So whatever I say, it's going to be speaking to Christians' ideas, Christian religion as well. It'll speak to their religion and their ideas as well. Now, and I could give it to you, and as Mr. Farad said, I can give it to you in the twinkling of an eye. There will be absolutely no time passed. No more than the twinkling of an eye. Yes. We have to understand our religion. Reason why the world of our religion is doing so poorly today and having so much internal trouble and also external problems from other nations, especially from our nation, in the person of President Bush. And I say our nation in his presence because he's doing a lot of things that high-ups in our nation are not approving right now. In fact, his popularity is waning fast. He's losing a lot of support. and I didn't vote for him. I want you to know that. I voted for the Democratic leader, not for Mr. Bush. And it wasn't because of my allegiance to a party. I'm not committed to either party. I'm committed to supporting excellent leadership. That's all. leadership that we can feel comfortable with. If we have choices, I want the choice that we can be most comfortable with. And that's how I vote. All right. yes. So beginning this address to you now, I'm going to use some quotes from Quran, from our holy book, the number one authority for Muslims and those who would represent Islam, the Quran, the book of God, the final revelation, who came to Muhammad ibn Abdullah of Arabia, the land of the Arabs, to a man who had already been recognized by his countrymen as a model of the excellence of life, the excellence of life. They called him As-Sadiq. In Arabic, it means, in English, it means the truthful, the one who does not lie. And they called him El-Amin, the honest, trustworthy one, the one that will not disappoint you and fail the trust, but he keeps the trust. These are two names that he had while he was not knowing the Quran or religion as such or revelation. But he was a person who obeyed his highest and cleanest motivations, who respected his noble soul and did not disappoint it. This is Muhammad the Prophet. Muhammad, the Prophet of Arabia. And he represents, as Jesus Christ does also, he represents the common God-given life and excellence of all people, of all people. And that's why I guess he was worthy of the title A Mercy to All People, or A Mercy to All the Nations. This perception of our religion as a religion of the original nature, of the original excellence of matter itself, that manifests its support to human excellence in the biological body, in the human chemistry, and in our intelligence, our emotions and intelligence and everything. Yes. God wants us to be connected with that and to see that he did not bring us an alien life to replace our human life that was born or was birthed out of the earth, this matter, out of the earth. No, he does not offer us anything from heaven or from the sky or from distant quarters, distant distances out in space and say, no, your life is not able, your life is not fit, your life can't bear my work that I want you to carry. I have to change your life. I give you a new life. I'm going to give you a spirit from outer space somewhere, and you're going to become a divine creature. Then you'll be able to bear my work and carry out my orders. No, That was not the case. God was very pleased, very pleased. Contrary to what some religious authorities say, God was very pleased with his human creation. I'm a student of both the books, Bible and Quran, the Quran. I'm a student of both these holy books. And I think I'm qualified to debate anybody on earth. I'm telling you what I feel. I won't back up from anybody. I think I'm qualified to debate anybody on this earth. And I'll stand on the grounds, on the sacred, pure grounds of the Bible and the Quran. And they'll find that they will not be able to prove me wrong. No. What I don't feel comfortable with, I don't say. What I say, I stand by. And I know the same idea that I'm getting ready to give you from Islam is in Christianity. Same idea. Only and Islam is brought more to view. It's brought closer to the eye. And it's put more in the big focus. Big focus. Whereas in other religion, they put it in big focus, but shrouded in language that you can't understand. So you don't get it. You don't see it. And they mention it in little small verses in language. They mention it. So you're reading and rereading all about other things. And there it is hidden in the language in a little small word. You miss it. But both these religions have as their main message the message of creation-supported human excellence. I repeat it. Creation-supported human excellence. So now I go to the language of Quran. God says to us, after revealing the language through Muhammad and to him, for all of us, God says to us, you are, antum, means all of us Muslims, antum khaira ummatan, you are the best of communities. Ukhrijat linnas, brought out for all people. Brought out from all people. Brought out from where? Ukhrijat linnas, brought out from where? If I would say, kharaju, kharaju, al-muslimuna, hum kharaju min huna, the Muslims, they went out from this place. If I say, I went out, kharajtu min huna. I went out from here. Kharajtu min huna. I went out from here. There's a people that were in captivity under the ruling order of the Pharaoh Egyptians. And they had been cut off from any room he was unaware. This is both Quran and Bible. This story is both Quran and Bible. And God chose him. His people were expecting a deliverer. You catch enough hell, you're going to hope for, even if you don't expect, a deliverer. So his people were expecting a deliverer. And they were wondering, would this be Moses? And since we have this member of our group that has been accepted by Pharaoh in his palace, Pharaoh has taken him as an adopted son, maybe this is the one that's going to be our deliverer. They were having hopes in him because he was in such a fortunate situation, a good situation, to help them. He was right there at the side of the ruler, the Pharaoh.
That's right.
But Moses didn't have the knowledge, didn't have any understanding. But he had a spirit in him that was of his people. So when he saw one of the Egyptians mistreating one of his people, he hit him and killed him. And God charged him with that. Yes, God finally got to him and talked to him. And when he opened his eyes up, then he told him, you committed a sin. It wasn't enough to kill a man over. So, as it goes, he finally gets communication from God. And that mountain I was talking about, yes, Moses went up that mountain, and Muhammad went up that mountain. And Dr. King said he went up that mountain. Yes. And seeing that his followers didn't hear him, or they misunderstood him. I think they thought he meant he went up to the mountain of the Capitol Hill. No, that ain't what he's talking about. He was talking about the mountain that Abraham was once on, the mountain that Moses was on. He was talking about that mountain. He was talking about the mountain that Muhammad the prophet was on when he got communication from God. Same mountain by different names. Yes? That's what he was talking about. So, when I mentioned going up the mountain top, I mean rising up, ascending in the best human light being. Up the best human light being. Ascending upward in that light being. To make connection with the revelator, with the revealer that can reveal all things. Going up that in that light beam, going up, rising, ascending the light beam. That's what I'm saying. Yes. For the vision, getting up high enough to have the eye of an eagle. Eagle can be way up there, out of sight. His prey can't see him. He's too far away. But the eagle's eyesight is so good, he can see the prey crawling around on earth or flying around in the lower air. And he comes down like a dive bomb, sweeps down on him, and takes him away. Eagle.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. We give the greetings of peace, as we say in Islam, Assalamu alaikum. And being this is the month in which the Quran was revealed to the model human being for us and any, as God says in our holy book, model human being for any who believes in God and the last day. Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be prayers and the peace. So we wish you in this blessed month a blessed Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak. And I'm sure that we will be in different places celebrating the Eid. So I also wish you all a blessed and happy Eid. And if it is a blessed Eid, it will be a happy Eid. Praise be to Allah. I'm happy to be back in this area and to meet with you all in this town hosted by our imam, a wonderful leader providing real leadership for us all here in Trenton, Imam Abdul Wali Ali. We thank Allah for such leaders who will give more than what you ask of them. Sometimes we don't need much from each other, but we need a lot from each other if we are going to establish the community or society of Islam or Muslims in America. We need a lot from all of us, a lot from all of us. And I'm often telling my associates who are working with me in Markham and in the area of town, suburban areas of Chicago, my hometown, I'm often telling them that if I was working for just myself, you wouldn't see me, and I wouldn't be known. I'm working for the interest, for the cause, for the interest. I said, every one of us that's working in these offices, I say we should know that we are working for the interest, for the cause. And the interest is always above each and every one of us as individuals. The interest is bigger than all of us. So I tell them, don't buddy up with each other. Buddy up with the interest. And then you're helping everybody, and you're everybody's buddy in this community. Praise be to Allah. And that brings me to the idea that I want to begin with for this presentation here. We are together in bigger ways than we think with Christians and Jews and some others, not just Christians and Jews, and some others, because Allah mentioned another group in the Quran, that I thought were non-existent. I thought they were extinct. And they are called the Sabians. Saba. And Quran. The Sabians. They are still existing. They're a religious group that's still existing and practicing their way on earth today. Really, we are told to recognize, I give you the words of Quran, any who believe in God and the last day. Any who believes in the Creator, a real God. They can't believe in their God that they made with their ideas or with their minds or with their hands. It has to be the real God, the Creator of the heavens and earth. If they believe in that Creator that caused all to be in the skies and in the earth, including our own existence, and they believe in the last day, means they believe they have to answer to Him for how they live this life, then we should embrace them as believers. They are not kafirs, they are believers. We share with them the idea, the people of the book I'm speaking specifically of now, those people that are called in our holy book, the people of the book, meaning Jews and Christians. We share with them the idea that all of this world, material scheme, skies and earth, is not the creation of any or the doings of any but one God. Where we go from there may cause us to verge away from each other, to depart from each other. Where we go from there may establish a different house for one another. Different house for them, different house for us. But we start in that one place, agreeing there, and that's the beginning of the world and man, according to God. God doesn't tell us in the Quran how the creation, the skies, the sun, the moon, and all these things came into being, or how He made them, or how He created them. The beginning of our knowledge, our introduction that we get from God, that introduces His works, the creation, the worlds, to us, began with God focusing on man. The first verses communication came to Muhammad the Prophet. Said, Muhammad, read. So the attention is on the man, Muhammad. And God wants to teach this man to read. It's not an ordinary reading. It's read God's communication to mankind, to you, for mankind, and my communication to mankind. It says, read. Muhammad told him, read. And he said, read in the name of your Lord who created. Ikra bismi rabbuka alladhi khalaq. Then he told him something about the God who created. Khalaq al-insana. They say he created the sky. He's just talking to him. And he's not telling him he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and created the earth, and the water, and the wind, and the rubber. Khalaq al-insana. He created a human being. Min alaq. From a small clot of congealed blood, the clot. Then he told him, read again. Told him again, read. Ikra, he said. And he tells him some more about God. Wa rabbuka al-akram. And your Lord is most generous, the translation gives us. And your Lord is most generous. But your Lord is also the one to be respected above all. Akram. It's not only generous, also honorable, deserving, respect above all. To be honored, to be respected above all. Wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi allama al-insana. The one who taught the human beings. Ma lam ya'lam. What he was not knowing before. So God is communicating for the whole of mankind through his special servant and messenger that he has taken from the world, who he took from the world that without any spot or blemish in his character. He chose a man, Muhammad, who had no spot or blemish in his character, who had lived 40 years without being pointed to as a person that had a bad character, the most honorable in character that the people knew in his land, the land that is now called Arabia, the most honorable one. His name that he was given by the people, not by God, by the people, was the truthful. Another name they gave him, title names that they gave Muhammad the Prophet, common names. They wouldn't say, oh, Muhammad. Those people who didn't know him, was not close to him or anything, they knew of his character. His character was well known in the whole tribe of Quraysh, the biggest tribe and the most respected tribe of the Arabs. Well known. He was well known. And they would say to him, Ya Amin, Ya El Amin, oh trustworthy one. Yes, Sadiq, oh the one who never lies. So here's a man that God picked from the people who lived a life of idolaters, except from a few among them who didn't do that, and Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be on him, was among the few that didn't worship the idols, didn't do those things, didn't follow them in their culture, religious culture. So he continued to communicate with the Muhammad. He said, your Lord is most generous, to be respected above all things, who taught the humans, mankind, what they were not before knowing. Now these are the first verses communicated to Muhammad from God, focusing on a man for the future good of all men, or all mankind, women and men, the human society on this planet Earth. A learned and highly respected teacher who has passed now but he may be established as the leading teacher for Islamic reawakening, it's Muslims reawakening in our time, in this modern time. Maulana Abul Ala Maududi of Pakistan, He said to us on Mount Arafat, when we were making the Hajj there, on Mount Arafat we were gathered, he said to us, well, maybe I should tell you what he said to them first, about us here. He said, we will make a mistake if we try to lead the Muslims of America. He said, we should leave them alone and just assist them the best way we can. But let them lead. That we should not try to lead them. That's what Maulana Maududi said. And let me tell you what my father said. Don't follow them. I didn't say I said that now. My father said, don't follow them. And I'm not agreeing with my father, and I'm not agreeing with Maulana Maududi, but I am acknowledging a real concern that both of them were addressing when they said what they said. Yes, because I want our leadership to be like the leadership of our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be on him. I want it to have in it different colors so they know that we are following his way. So we can't have all blacks in our leadership. We have to have black, brown, yellow, red, and even white. And even white. In our leadership. Praise be to Allah. Continuing with this point in the opening of my address. Now, so what I've said is unlike the Bible that begins, well, for those average person, the common person, when we read Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, we think it begins with the creation of the world. And really the moon comes before the sun in the creation. In Genesis, God creates the moon, puts the moon in the heavens before he puts the sun up. And one thing for sure, in Islam, the day starts with the night, not with the sunrise. It starts with the night, the day. When we fast, we observe the moon, and we begin our fasting from the time we observe the moon, whether it's in the day or in the night, because we know the new crescent can appear in the day, too. But whether it's in the day or in the night, we begin. But actually, we do think of ourselves really starting our fast, making our intention on the night, in the night, when we know that the Ramadan. We make our intention in the night, and we begin right then fasting. Because fasting in Ramadan, we know it's a fast from that the flesh needs, we say the carnal body, with that the flesh needs. But it's not only that. It's a fast from that the spirit needs as well. That's why we are reading the Quran. We are staying in the Quran as often as we can. We're reading so much of the Quran all the time. That's the discipline of Quran, of the Ramadan, daily life in the Ramadan. And we are also told to stay away from things that will take us out of our peaceful spiritual state. So you don't want to engage somebody in an argument. Say if someone annoys you, they tell them, I'm fasting. Mean I'm not going to respond to you. You're picking at me. You want me to pull me into an argument, but I'm not going to do it. I'm fasting. So it's a discipline for our whole life, not just for the physical body. But it's extremely important for us to know that the spiritual body affects the body, the material body, the mortal life affects the spiritual life. And the spiritual life affects the mortal life. And the spiritual life came here like God wanted it to come here. And once we woke up in a material body, the trouble started. The trouble started. So we have to know that the discipline for the physical body is most important. Because if the house is peaceful, the spirit dwelling in it can have peace. You see? Yes. Okay. So, continuing now. The focus is on the human being, Not like Genesis, and God made the heavens and the earth, and he put a sun in the sky, a moon in the sky, and then he put a sun in the sky, and he made the oceans, and he put all these things. So first it's telling us about the outer world. Whereas the Quran, the first words of revelation that came to Muhammad addressed a man without spot or blemish that had lived a spotless life, a life perfectly acceptable to God as a human being. Even before any religion came to him, he was not Christian, he was not Jewish, he had not been taught by any of them, no religious teachers ever tutored him or anything. He didn't know about the Bible, scriptures, and all that. He didn't know about that, all those things. He didn't know about that. He was not a Jew or a member of the Jewish society or anyone privileged to have to be exposed to their way of life. So here's a man that had lived among idol worshippers but had kept the human life that God created him with when God made him a human being from his mother and from his father. Isn't that wonderful? And if you don't think this have connection with previous scriptures, you're missing the boat. The scriptures tell us that such a one would be given to the world, to lead the world. All right, you might say, as a Christian, you might say, well, that was Jesus Christ. I'm through with it now. I'm going to get back on my topic. So God focused the human being. And if we want to understand the world, first understand your own self. Because the world to a rooster is not a world to me. The world to an elephant is not the world to me. To an ant, any other living creature, the world to those living creatures is not the world to me. I don't want to perceive the world and relate to the world the way they do. I'm a human being. I need to perceive the world and relate to it as a human person. And if I don't even know myself, then first I have to know myself in order to know how I am to relate to the outer world or to the external world. And that's where God goes for the last revelation. Goes right to man, focus on man, and what does he say? How does he tell Muhammad how that all began? He told him from a clot of congealed blood. All people made like that. But he didn't leave him just right there. He also went where the Bible went to. The Bible eventually got to man. But it went to the creation first, and then it got to man. And on the sixth day, the last day, talks about man. And on the seventh day, everything rested. Rested. That's the Genesis, the Bible. Whereas in the Quran, God focused on man, on a selected man, a special man, that have kept his original excellence and have not had revelation from God or help from Scripture. See that? I wish I could go a little more with you all in the wrong, but I'd have to digress. I'm going to stay right with my talk. I'm going to stay right with my topic, because you don't have too much time. I know when it's time to eat, I'm going to stop. But long before then, because I have to be on a plane, and inshallah, I'll take my plane with my little security guard with me. He's out there somewhere. He's 11 years old. Terrific little fella and a great company for anybody. He's sociable. Okay. Yes. So he didn't leave Muhammad with that first picture of the beginning of mankind from a clock. Then he takes Muhammad to where Genesis goes on the sixth period of phase. In that progression, he says to Muhammad, gives revelation for all of us. And he said, God said to the angels, I am making a khalifa in the earth. He didn't say we are making a Khalifa in the earth. He said to the angels, I am making a Khalifa in the earth. And when I have inspired him or given him of my spirit, make sense that to him. Make sense that to him. Submit to him. Make sense that to him. Now, he was talking to angels, but also there was a jinn among them who was performing in the role of the angel, the leading angel. He was leader of the angels. His name, according to our scripture, is Iblis. Iblis, who was a jinn. And how do we know he's a jinn? Because when Allah tells us in the Quran, and the jinn people, the jinn community, he made them of fire. Of fire. A fire that does not repent. Oh, I'm sorry. That ain't what it says. I'm sorry. It says a fire that gives off no smoke. No smoke. And he said also that Muhammad told us this of himself. I'm sorry, Allah didn't say it. Muhammad told us this of himself, peace be upon him. He said, when they asked, do you also have a jinn? He said, yes. He said, but my jinn became Muslim. How wonderful. Yes, so that means all human beings have a jinn. And God has also assigned to us angels. So God tells us these things. We don't have to question these things if we are believers. We don't question what God tells us. So we know that God says he's assigned to each an angel to record and an angel to help you, to warn. Record, they're given each of us angels. And we also possess a jinn. So look, everything that God was speaking to, right, immediately in the life of man, right? Angels and jinn. So when the jinn that was leading the angels refused to accept Allah's plan for man, that he was going to make him Khalifa, meaning that he's going to make him God's going to make man his responsible representative in the earth for the interest of human life and human future and the future of that life. That's what God is saying. And the angels heard that, they were disturbed, because their knowledge of human being was this, that you are free, you have free will, and because you have free will, the angels don't have free will, they only have Allah's will, God's will. So because we have free will, the angels worried. Say they're going to be, they will create bloodshed. Bloodshed. They will be killing and spilling blood. And what did God say? What did the Almighty God say? Allah said to them, I know what you know not. And then he challenged them. He said, tell me your names. Tell me your own names, if you know. And they responded with the nature that God had given them. They said, we have no knowledge except that you gave us. That's what they said. The angel said that to God. Then God, again, turns our attention to man. And he says to Adam, he has not yet established Adam, but he said to Adam, he said, Adam, tell them their names. And Adam told them their names. Then they submitted, all except one, the leader, their leader, Iblis, who was not in his true being or nature or creation. He was not angel originally. He was jinn, not angel. So being unlike them, he had, just like man, he had limited free will. He can obey or he can disobey. He has his own power to obey or disobey. God gave him, made him like men. So he refused. He saw the trouble coming for the world with man being responsible for his life in the earth and future. He refused. Abba was stuck about us. These are the words, the expressions from Quran, from God communicated to us through Muhammad, by way of the angel through Muhammad. He said, God said of him, pardon me, that jinn, Iblis, he said he refused. Abba, I mean he refused. Was stuck bara. You can't even say the word stuck bara without feeling your body want to go up. Was stuck bara. Your body wants to go, you want to straighten up a little bit. Proud. Was stuck bara. And he became puffed out in the chest. Proud, proud, arrogant. He thought that he was so much greater than man. So God said to them, get you down from, this is no place for this kind of behavior. Get you down from here, all of you, kubat. You know what kubat means? Together, like the fingers are together to make a fist. Get you all together down from here into the earth where you will find your desires, the fulfillment of your desires, where you will live and die, and from there you'll be resurrected. Where you'll be together, pardon me, live and die, and from there raised up again, raised up again. This is Quran. So what Quran is, Allah's communication or revelation wants us the first to give our attention to our own beginning, our own human life and our own beginning. So can I say then that the beginning of Quranic teachings to us should be addressing the real life that God wants for us as human beings and educating us so we can live that real life? That's where I think it begins, where it is. So we say self-knowledge.